Listen to today's roster report to hear about all the latest Patriots transactions. Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and you're listening to the Roster Report podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's finally beginning to feel like football season here at Gillette Stadium. It's Friday, August 25th, and we have Brian Lowe, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale discussing the kicking situation and the offensive line right now.
And here we are with the Patriots Roster Report podcast, Friday, August 25th, a real busy week here at Gillette Stadium with the Patriots as they go from preseason week number 2 to preseason week number 3. I'm Brian Lowe along with Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale. We'll quickly run through all the news and notes from the week, and then we'll get to some discussion of the main happenings. When we came to you last week, last Friday, it was shortly before the junior Seau signing was made official, but the Patriots did sign the 12-time Pro Bowl linebacker late Friday afternoon. In the process, they signed veteran tight end Chris Luzar and released tight end Walter Rasby. Then earlier this week, they released John Kondo, the long snapper, and fourth-string quarterback Todd Mortensen. An interesting trade on Monday with the Arizona Cardinals. They sent swing tackle Brandon Gorin to the Cardinals for an undisclosed draft pick. I guess the Cardinals liked what they saw out of Gorin in the game here on Saturday night. And Nick Hajer was taken off the physically unable to perform list, sort of a trade-off there with Gorin leaving and Hajer coming on in. The biggest news of the week came on Wednesday when the Patriots released kicker Martin Gramatica, essentially naming Steven Gostkowski as the replacement for Adam Vinatieri going forward. And then on Thursday, the Patriots released wide receiver Eric Davis. So no shortage of news items, transactions this week. Certainly the biggest news is the kicking situation, a resolution to that. What are you guys' thoughts on how that happened, the timing of it, and was it anything unexpected?
Well, I don't think it was unexpected. I think as camp went on, looked better and better. You know, he made all his kicks in the preseason game, got the one game where he got all the opportunities. His kickoffs all along were stronger, and Gramatica just simply didn't win the job. And if you take a guy in the draft to be your kicker and he shows the potential and enough, you're going to stick with him. You're not going to waste that draft pick, especially when the veteran you brought in has had his own troubles in the past and did nothing to prove to you that he's well beyond those or going to have some sort of breakout season. So I think it became obvious. Yeah, I think it just became obvious.
Mm-hmm. And the thing was, too, that like you said, I mean, some of the line of questioning this week with the head coach and some of the players is it was more that that it wasn't so much that Gramatica lost the job. It was that Gostkowski is the one who maybe has the more potential. It wasn't that Gramatica screwed up. In fact, in the preseason games combined, they were perfect with field goals, extra points, and pretty solid in kickoff. Certainly Gostkowski a lot deeper there. Anyone else have any thoughts on what this means for the team in terms of putting a rookie kicker into the game situations? Not unlike what they did with Adam Vinatieri 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense to do it earlier rather than later. Because I feel like it's a good confidence boost. He's going to sit there and look, right now all he needs to worry about is making kicks. He doesn't need to worry about who else is making kicks next to him. He needs to worry about making kicks. I don't think there's any less pressure on him now that he is, ostensibly been named the kicker here. If he misses a few, he joked about it yesterday about the bunch of guys on speed dial. And I think that's true. If he doesn't perform, even in the preseason, if he goes out and misses 4 or 5 in a preseason game or in the next 2 preseason games, Belichick's going to be looking for another kicker. I mean, right. I don't think he's certainly won anything. For now, he's the kicker, and he will have that job. I think it's a great move. I agree with everything Andy said. I think he had the stronger leg and the much bigger potential.
And he will have now, it'll be 3 full preseason games where he's the main kicker. Saturday night here, I think the weather is expected to be somewhat iffy. Some rain, maybe some cooler, maybe some windier conditions.
Belichick really is a genius.
He is a genius. I mean, he directs the weather. He controls what goes on there. But it might be a good opportunity for him certainly not what he's going to see in a December game, but it might not be optimal conditions for him. So he'll have 3 full games as the preseason kicker without any worries about rotation or alternating kicks. And as Josh Miller also said yesterday, that helps the trio of Josh Miller, Lonnie Paxton, and Steven Gostkowski when it comes to converting field goals, converting extra points, and just everyone being on the same
page. And they obviously like this guy. They took him in the 4th round of the draft. You can always go out and get a Martin Gramatica. If he struggles, there's Martin Gramaticas out there.
Maybe veteran, Martin Gramatica
yeah,
himself.
Yeah, maybe himself or veteran kickers like him who are out on the street that you can call in for, if you get in a pinch or a bind.
Sure.
So I think this was... you know, the move everyone expected and probably the right move.
And the one thing I'll add is just we know he's going to miss kicks. I mean, he's perfect right now. He's missed some in practice, but he's a rookie kicker.
Right.
He's going to – it's like having a rookie quarterback. He's going to throw his share of picks, no matter how Peyton Manning threw his share of picks. Yeah. You know, Adam Vinatieri missed kicks early on to the point where he was one missed kick away from losing his job, and then he became the legend. So, you know, I know fans are going to expect perfection when the regular season gets here, but we know he's going to miss kicks.
And, you know, just to back up that point, Josh Miller said that. It's almost like I wish that we could see him miss a kick or two just to see how he responds to it. He goes, it's hard to tell the kid to go out there and miss one, but, you know, you like to see how a guy responds to adversity and, you know, how he comes back.
Josh Miller was making the comparison to Jonathan Papelbon yesterday
as a
closer. And, you know, I think what a lot of people were saying earlier on this earlier this season before Jonathan Papelbon blew a save, which happened like 3 months in, was, well, it'll be important to see how he responds after he blows a save. Does he collapse if he has two straight poor performances? I think we've seen that he hasn't, and we'll have to wait and see on Gostkowski, but that's a good point. You know, he's been perfect so far. The kickoffs as well have been pretty impressive. He's sent several into the end zone, and he was talking about that as well yesterday about, you know, the goal really is to, you know, make sure the opposition doesn't advance to the 25 or 30, and kicking it into the end zone and 2-3 yards into the end zone is certainly impressive.
And
so
it'll be interesting to see when he misses a big kick, like a kick that could decide a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when you look at the most accurate kicker of all time is Vanderjack, and obviously he's missed some big kicks at the end of
his
games.
Last kick in a game.
Yeah. So that'll be the interesting thing, is the first time one of his kicks cost the Patriots a game, if he can rebound from that. Because it's going to happen. It happens to every kicker, and it'll happen to him too.
And he's every bit the unknown today that he was 2 days ago before they released Gramatica, because, as you said, he'll get a chance Saturday night to maybe kick in some rain and some wind or whatever. But he has the game-winning pressure type, you know, ahead of him on the horizon, and the weather here at Gillette, because while he's kicked in the stadium, he hasn't kicked in the stadium when the seasons change and the wind starts to swirl. So he's still an unknown.
Right. And he could have a flawless month of September, and we still might not know much about him.
That's
because
right.
of that weather situation and pressure kicks. Let's turn our attention a little bit to the offensive line. A couple of interesting moves. They traded Brandon Gorin for an undisclosed draft pick, their second trade of an offensive lineman during this preseason. They sent Ross Tucker to the Cleveland Browns. And, hey, most likely these are guys who were, at best, were on the bubble to make the team. Good chance they weren't going to make the team, and they get a draft pick for them in the process. When you combine those two with what they'll probably get for compensation, perhaps with Tom Ashworth, that's three offensive linemen who might provide them with an extra draft pick next year. Offensive linemen who either they groomed from off the scrap heap or just got something for guys who weren't going to make a difference for them this year. So any thoughts on the Gorin trade and in the process bringing in Nick Kazier, who had been on the PUP list?
Well, I think it's a good deal, and I think the way you put it, that it's three guys they signed off the scrap heap and now have turned into draft day picks that they can wheel and deal or make selections players down the road. The only spin I would change on the way you described the trade early was, not sure Dennis Green liked what he saw in Brandon Gorin.
He didn't like what
more
he saw
so
about
he
his own guys.
Didn't like what he saw in all the guys that played for him and said he can't be any worse.
Right. No, that's a fair point, and maybe that's also part of a reputation that the Patriots have with Dante Scarnecchia and Bill Belichick in grooming these offensive linemen. Hey, if this guy Gorin has been in their system for 4 years, he's probably gotten good coaching. He's got legitimate game experience, including a Super Bowl. Hey, let's give him a try. Exactly. He might not be worse than what we have. Can Nick Kazier make a difference? We'll see if he plays tomorrow. We'll see if he plays in the preseason. But he hadn't practiced at all until this week. So that's 3 full weeks of training camp and 2 preseason games. Do we see him making an impact? Do we see him being in the mix probably as a third tackle? And is Ryan O'Callaghan the starter at right tackle?
I think O'Callaghan has the job myself. I just like his athleticism. He's a big guy. You know, Andy's been talking about him for quite a while. I think from what we've seen so far, he's the guy. I mean, obviously they could fall back on Kazier, and he's someone that could play left or right tackle. But if they were going to start today, I'd have to go with O'Callaghan.
When you say he's the guy, do you mean if Kazier had, you know, 2-3 weeks of solid work under his belt, he's better than Kazier?
No, I meant right now.
Oh, okay.
Because
I
Kazier,
totally agree.
Because
I totally
Kazier
agree.
Has missed time.
And I also think we might be in another one of these cases, and I know I joke about the argument last year that Tom Ashworth was in that swing, versatile role late in the year when I personally thought he was better than Gorin, who was starting at right tackle. I think Kazier is a better swing tackle right now. I think he could play left or right if you need him.
We know he can play left and right.
I don't think O'Callaghan can. I think he's the bigger, and Bill talked a little bit about it in his press conference early this week, that he's the bigger, can take on the bigger defensive ends. A lot of teams run to their right, and I think he's that road grader. I mean, at 6'7", 330, whatever, he can move people. Yeah. I'm not sure he could deal well on the left side with a Jason Taylor, with a Dwight Freeney, where I think Kazier has shown he can kind of do that. So I think Ryan O'Callaghan is a right tackle. Nick Kazier could be your swing tackle or left tackle at some point.
And if O'Callaghan does succeed as a starter at right tackle and you're starting offensive line left to right is Light, Mankins, Copen, Neal, and O'Callaghan, and your depth at offensive line is Nick Kazier, who had almost a full season of starting experience last year, Russ Hochstein, who has, at this point, 3 years of experience at multiple positions, and maybe a Dan Stevenson or a Billy Yates or whatever. That's pretty good depth at that offensive line position. And you know that they're going to have guys like Wesley Britt, Nick Stites, a couple of guys who have sort of been in the mix, maybe in the, on the practice squad or whatever. So there's definitely some good depth there.
Don't forget about Mr. Hand.
Randy Hand and Brian Barthelmes as well. Can't forget those guys.
Yeah, I think seven starters, though. I think that's pretty good. You have seven quality, seven guys. If O'Callaghan is starter worthy, you have seven guys who have started.
And you have the versatility of Kazier both sides, Hochstein, probably any of the three interior positions.
Yeah.
So you have that, Bill always talks about they have to double up there on game day.
Yep.
You have your seven guys right there.
Team Murkowski is another guy.
That's all they'll take to games. They'll probably have eight, maybe nine for the roster, but they'll only have seven probably active.
Right. And if you get forced into a case where it's Murkowski or Billy Yates, if he's on the roster, those are also guys that have that three-position versatility on the inside there. So, yeah, you definitely have some depth, probably a little more overall talent than you've had in this regime, and you have the versatility.
Absolutely, yeah. So last week, as we mentioned at the top, we talked about Junior Seau when we were recording the podcast as we're expecting this to happen. It did happen later that day. What have you guys seen out of him during the course of this week? It's been 3 days since he's been out in the field. He was somewhat of a surprise in uniform last Saturday, though he didn't play. What is your sense of where he can fit in, how well he can fit in, just from what we've heard from the coach and certain players during the course of this week?
Well, he's got big arms.
He has shaving cream often around his hat ears.
Well, right now it appears like he's starting, right? He's inside with Vrabel.
He's been inside with Vrabel at each of the three practices that we were allowed to attend. And Bill said he'll be playing inside.
He'll be playing inside. And we will see tomorrow night. I think we all expect that he will play to some degree tomorrow night, whether that's starting.
So.
Certainly, this is the time where your starters are going to play the most, and you're going to want to see what you have. Because as we know, although it's a little bit of a different schedule, the fourth preseason game, we're not going to see a lot of, especially because there's only 4 days in between these games, probably not going to see these starters too much. So this is an important time to see that. And in terms of the linebacker core as a whole, Telly Bantakane has certainly made strides starting on the outside along with Roosevelt Colvin. And we still have Monty Beisel sort of in that.
Bantakane hasn't shown me anything.
Hasn't shown you anything.
He read in our latest edition of PFW and called me on in the locker room yesterday.
Is that right?
Yes. So I'll be watching him this week.
Hit him!
I'll be watching this week when the starters are out there for a significant amount of time, and we'll see if Telly Bantakane can make a play that I can bring to him and say, you know what, you showed me something.
Bad idea to put the pictures.
What did he show you when he blew by that fullback?
Yeah. That's a play.
Okay.
It's a Dan Klecko play. No offense, Dan.
Dan Klecko made two.
Except for it was against the ones and not the fives.
That's right.
Still a fullback. He's going to show me he's going to be a versatile playmaker. I need him to do it against a left tackle.
Of all people to discredit the fullback.
I love the position, but let's not overrate its value.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable is right. Now, we are at with the release of guys like John Kondo, Todd Mortensen, Eric Davis, three players who absolutely were not going to make this roster. The team is down to 85 players on the roster. They need to get down to 75 next Tuesday, but there are still NFL Europe exemptions. I don't know if anyone fully can confirm exactly which players have exemptions, but the Patriots by next Tuesday will have to cut somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 6 players.
Is that 85 count Zuriel Smith and Earl Charles and Raymond Ventrone?
That 85 does count Zuriel Smith.
Okay,
that's
so
a good point.
With 82.
What Bill said. He said we have to cut 6 or 7.
Right.
So that would go 82 down to
75. And I was under the impression that
but there's still NFL Europe.
I was under the impression that the new 75 meant took out that exemption.
Europe,
oh, is that right?
You no longer have exemptions as
okay,
as
so
of
they
the
have to be down to 75
cut.
Regardless of exemptions. Okay, so
but again, and they always point this out, it can come in a variety. If a guy gets hurt and they put him on IR, that's a move.
That's a move. Right.
If a guy,
well, Mel Mitchell, you know, is listed on the Patriots roster, but he's on IR.
Right. So, you know, it's not always just a flat-out cut. There's some wiggle room there often.
But either way, this round of cuts most likely will not produce surprises, although it was around this time last year that they cut three guys who, Rohan Davies, Cedric Cobbs, and
Dexter Reed.
And Dexter Reed,
never
three
know.
Guys.
I mean, there could be a Monty Beisel
there
or
could
someone
be.
In there.
And there's the idea of, well, maybe we give this guy who's a veteran an earlier chance, or it truly, truly is, okay, we've made our decision that this guy is not going to help us this year. Why continue giving him reps in practice? Whatever it is, they do this third game may be a chance for some guys to give their last gasp effort to make this team, and then there's a quick turnaround before the actual final 53-man cutdown. Next Tuesday is the 75. They play on Thursday night, and Saturday or Sunday is the 53-man countdown. So between over the next 8 or 9 days is when about 30 guys are going to be off this roster. Who are some guys you're going to be looking at in terms of that bubble, which Bill Belichick completely discounted in terms of using that phrase yesterday? Who are some guys that you think have make-or-break games coming up?
Gus Scott, Eric Alexander.
I would say linebacker, there's a few guys, whether it's Alexander, Woods, Mincy, some of those guys, you know, what they can do and if they can earn a role on special teams / defense.
More veteran types, Chad Scott, Eric Warfield.
Yeah, because some of those guys won't be making it. I mean, whether it's their cut this week or next week.
I don't think both of those guys are locks by any means. I think there's a chance they both could stick, but probably the more likely scenario is one in, one out.
And you still have the battles maybe at wide receiver for that extra guy, whether it's a Bam Childress.
Bam Childress, did he win a spot last week?
Right, or somebody else could have a great game this week and kind of step to the forefront. A Kelvin Kite, if he's out there with the ones and can do something, maybe he can step to the forefront.
Nice to see him do something.
Now, and when we approach this time where the 53-man roster comes into play, it's also important to make it clear that there's the 8-man practice squad. However, guys cannot just be automatically placed on the practice squad. They have to be released first. They're open for business for the other 31 teams and then added on to your your practice squad. So guys that you cut cannot necessarily automatically be brought to your practice squad. The only thing is, pretty much every team is in the same boat. The guys that have been with them for training camp for 6 weeks, you're going to kind of want to keep them. So there's not too much to worry about there. But, you know, when all is said and done, there'll be 61 guys, not including PUP, IR, and any other reserve list, such as Deion Branch, who will be on this roster.
And one other thing, if we're going to talk about the 53-man looking ahead just a little bit, we also have to keep in mind some of the guys that are potentially inactive for that first week. You know, a Rodney Harrison, if he's not quite ready to go. A Dan Copen, if he's not quite ready to go. Even a Nick Kazier, if he has a set. You know, some of these guys that have come off PUP have lost that chance, you know, and could be inactives. It shakes the roster up a little differently because you don't have necessarily 8 bodies that you're just going to be inactive for that day. They may have to play roles, so it tweaks the roster a little.
And Patrick Pass, is he the only guy still on PUP?
Yes, correct.
He's the only guy still on PUP. Chad Jackson's an interesting one because he had been on PUP. Obviously, they took him off PUP because they thought he'd be ready. He practiced 3 times and hasn't been seen since, and that was 2-3 weeks ago. I think that was 3 weeks ago because he entered practice about 4 or 5 days in. So, yeah, there's lots of things going on. And next Friday when we come to you on a podcast, which will be just 24 or 48 hours before that 53-man roster has to be announced, we'll definitely have a clearer picture or some better idea of who might or might not make it. So certainly a busy week that we just had. Patriots-Redskins Saturday night at Gillette Stadium. Probably the time where we'll see the starters the most. We'll see old friend Christian Fourier back here at Gillette Stadium following up on old friend Rohan Davies' visit last week.
Old friend David Patton.
Old friend David Patton. Is
Red's
he playing?
He's going to be mad at you for all those old friend references.
Well, I'll have to. We'll be all right. That's going to do it for this edition of the Roster Report. For Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe. Let's send it back to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. Join us again next Friday for an all-new Roster Report podcast. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!